Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Amen. Would you please be seated? In 2024, a rather remarkable animated film came out of the country of Latvia. There is not a single word of dialogue in the entire movie. It won an Academy Award and the Golden Globe. Now, those of you with younger kids probably know it already. It's about a black cat, and it's called Flo. This movie centers around this black cat who is living among the ruins of humanity. There are statues, there are houses, but there's no sign of human beings. There's only other animals around. And the cat is alone and wants to stay that way. There's this Labrador that wants to become friends, and it doesn't want to have anything to do with the Labrador, especially because the Labrador was a part of a pack of dogs that was openly harassing the cat. But then out of nowhere, and it's a surprise to the audience, a flood rips through the land, covering everything. And when the flood comes, wiping away everything, we're left at the beginning of Act Two of this movie wondering, will the cat survive? So, in our last congregational meeting, you said that you wanted to grow into our baptismal promise, which we will renew in a minute. One of them, that we will strive for justice and peace and respect the dignity of every human being. And on this Pentecost Sunday, we're going to talk about how the Spirit of God is the gushing torrent that draws us together for justice and peace. And we'll do that by looking at how Jesus' life, death, and resurrection establish justice, about how Jesus opens the way of peace, and how Jesus, through the Spirit, sends us to share that peace with the world. So, first of all, Jesus' life, death, and resurrection establish justice. There are a lot of optional readings for today, and one of them is from the book of Acts, which talks about the coming of the Spirit on the apostles. And in that reading, Peter quotes one of the prophets. He says, and the prophet wrote, "In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." By quoting this passage, Peter, after the coming of the Spirit, after the tongues of fire alight on their heads, as he's speaking and everyone from all over the world hears this message in their own language, by quoting this passage, the Apostle Peter is saying, the last days are here. The last days are here. These last days are here to herald the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day when God will set things right. The prophet uses these images of the sun and the moon. And throughout the Old Testament prophets, we have these images referring to the great things that are wrong in the world, the empire that has taken over Israel or some other group of people, that things need to be leveled in order for things to be made right. Signs in the heavens, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, are about the world being set right by God's return. And according to the prophet, the Spirit, the coming of the Spirit, will be the sign. And it's not as though the Spirit of God comes to rest on people only at Pentecost. Throughout the Old Testament, the Spirit of God is coming, but not to everyone. So in our first lesson, we heard about the Spirit of God coming to the elders. Moses has too much work. He needs to delegate his work. And God says, come bring the 70, the 70 elders of the community, and the Spirit alights on them and they prophesy. Then these people were able to hear the cases that the people brought when the law was not clear. They were able to decide, and anything that was too hard for them went up to Moses. The Spirit of God was resting on them as well, and they prophesied. But again, that was just the elders. In the last day, the prophet says, the Spirit will come not just on some, but on all. The Spirit of God that hovered over the waters of creation called life into being in Genesis 1. And now the Spirit hovers over the bitter waters of our tears, calling new life into being out of the hurt of the world, setting things right. What Jesus has done in his life, death, and resurrection establishes God's justice, not just for some, but for all. And from there, Jesus opens the way to peace. In another place in the Gospel of John, when Jesus talks about the Spirit, he says, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me, and let one who believes in me drink." Again, this touches on that sense of not some, but all. It is open to anyone, not just the elders, but to all. Peter reminds us this comes upon all flesh. His life, death, and resurrection establishes justice. He opens the way of peace to all who will walk it. He opens the way of peace for us. And this is important. Together. This is something that we are drawn into together. Yes, as individuals, we are called, we are saved, we are baptized, but we are incorporated. And incorporated is a fun word that uses the word corpus from the Latin, right? We are put into a body together. So back to the movie in Flow. The flood overwhelms the cat, but a boat drifts by. The cat jumps into the boat and finds a capybara. We can't talk to one another. There's no dialogue in this movie. But somehow they find a way to be together in the boat. Then over the course, they keep picking up stragglers, a secretary bird who's broken its wing, a lemur. The Labrador from the beginning finds its way in. They are safe in the boat. Now, those of you who've been around a while know that the top of many of our churches, if you look up in the nave, looks like the underside of a boat. This is intentional, and it's why it's called the nave, right? This naval part, this reminder, this is the church is the ark. It's like Noah's ark, riding on the waters of baptism, bringing us to safety. And in this movie, in this boat, these people from all over, these animals from all over, animals that have nothing in common find a way to live together. Reading this theologically, as I'm doing, I'm sure the Latvian authors had no intent for this to be used in a sermon. We too are drawn into this. We're cats and Labradors and secretary birds and lemurs. We are, as John puts it, the 153 different kinds of fish that are caught in the net in the time of Jesus' resurrection by the disciples. We are brought into this place of peace, not just as individuals, but together. And we are not called to rest on those laurels. We are called to be people in the boat who are bringing people into the boat. Jesus establishes justice in his life, death, and resurrection and opens the way to peace, and he sends us to share that peace with the world. Jesus said, as the scripture has said, out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water. Now he said this about the Spirit which believers in him were to receive, for as yet there was no Spirit because Jesus was not yet glorified. A little bit about living water. Jesus uses this as a wordplay. Living water just means running water. And in a place where you could not purify water too terribly easily, having living water, running water, is important for life and health. You know, you've got stuff moving down. It's not stagnant. This, out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water. And so Jesus, when he's talking to the Samaritan woman, has this wordplay. She wants the river where she can get water all the time. He's telling her about something else. He's telling her about the Spirit that will come, that will enable people to worship God in spirit and in truth. But this word flow here, out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water, an article Easton Allen gave me many years ago that I keep in my tickler file, it comes up once a year as we get close to Pentecost, reminds us that this word flow in the Greek is probably better translated a gushing torrent. This is not a meandering little stream. This is the whitewater rapids. Out of the believers of heart shall come a gushing torrent of living water. The kingdom, friends, has come to our hearts. The Spirit that hovered over the waters and brought forth creation dwells within us. And this Spirit of peace settles our worried hearts. The Spirit of peace enables us to understand and love one another. The Spirit of peace opens pathways of renewed justice in our society and world. And the Spirit of peace does this amazing thing. It destroys our enemies by making them friends. This is not a trickle. It is not a stream. The very Godhead, the third person of the Trinity, has set up shop in our hearts, and there is a gushing torrent of joy and peace that we have within us if we will just pay attention long enough to see it. A gushing torrent of joy and peace to share with the world, and it is meant to be shared. We share our peace with the world. We invite others to join us. We help them spread it until the whole creation is made new. So in summary, the Spirit is this gushing torrent that draws us together. Jesus' life, death, and resurrection establishes justice. He opens the way to peace, and he sends us through the Spirit to share that peace with the world. So I invite you this week to take some time to enjoy this time, to pay attention to perhaps the subterranean gushing torrent of joy and peace in your heart. I want you to look around and be honest, because there is a way in each of your hearts that Jesus is sharing his peace with the world. Already, you don't have to make it happen. Already, sometime this week, Jesus is planning to share his peace with the world through you. And your job this week is to notice and to celebrate and to bring that with you to Trinity Sunday next week. So, I won't spoil how the movie ends. Because there's no dialogue, the ending is ambiguous anyway. I still scratch my head when I watch this movie. But on the way to safety, the animal crew finds that pack of dogs from the beginning. And these have been antagonists throughout the movie. The pack of dogs have been trying to disrupt and trying to harm throughout. But something has shifted in the cats and in this animal crew. They could just leave them behind. They've been no good in the past. They've been a pain before. But what do they do instead? They move the boat over and they rescue the dogs. When Jesus establishes justice and opens the way to peace in our hearts, we can let the Spirit overflow in us to restore all things in our lives, even the people in our lives who are the pack of dogs to us. And in that restoration, we invite more people into the boat of God's love that rides the water of baptism, being reconciled to God and one another in Christ. And from there, friends, we keep going. We keep growing. And through our lives, this gushing torrent of the Spirit flows out, opening up justice and peace for a world in need. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.